I'd call this meeting of the House Fisheries Committee to order. Today is Wednesday, February 14th, and present are Representative Johnson, Representative Johansson, Representative Edgman, and myself, Chair Seaton, and Representative Wilson is on excused absence. Today we will hear House Bill 74, ban mixing zone in spawning areas, and then we will go to continued public testimony on House Bill 41, transfer the Habitat Division from DNR to Fish and Game. And is there anything come before the committee before we start? We had public testimony yesterday. We also have two things that have come in. We have a on this bill before us. One is a letter and resolution from the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference, and that is a letter dated February 12th, and their a copy of the resolution 0605 supporting the banning of mixing zones. And we have the answers back from to some of the questions that were asked in the previous hearing on from the DEC. So you should all have those in front of you. We're open for committee discussion. Anyone have any questions or want to take a moment to review?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Representative Benjamin.
It's your intention then just to continue hearings on both of these bills?
Representative Edgman, my intention is to move this on House Bill 74 mixing zone bill to resources and to continue hearing on House Bill 41.
Thank you.
Representative Johnson, do you want a minute before we?
No, that's fine. Go ahead. Okay. I can.
You want to move the bill?
I'll move HB 74. Do you object for discussion?
Sure.
Out of committee with individual recommendations and that fiscal note.
And I'll object for discussion.
Thank you. I still have some questions about the bill. A total ban on any tool in the toolbox for any of our managers in the state to use. I'm still not really very comfortable with a complete ban of anything because I think they do a good job. They've proven over the years that they do a fine job of managing our fisheries, and that's all the departments working together. That's not just Fish and Game, it's DNR, it's Fish and Game, it's DEC. Everybody has a hand in it, and our management style over the world is envied by a lot of the different managers. And I'm not going to hold up the bill. I have faith in the process. It's going to resources next, and they'll get deeper into it. But I just wanted to be on the record of being still uneasy about a total ban on any tool in the toolbox. And with that, that's it.
Any other comments? I'd just like to clarify that the bill does not ban mixing zones. It just bans mixing zones in spawning areas of the fish species and anadromous fish is defined. So just that clarification, but appreciate the comment. Any further comment? Representative Edmund.
Mr. Chairman, and I would like to say that I'm not going to object to the bill moving out of committee either, and that, you know, whether the bill gets through the process or not, we'll just have to wait and see. But that, in my mind, I agree with Representative Johansson's comments about having some concerns, but that's what the committee process is all about. And I think we heard enough on both sides of this issue to know that a further delving into what the bill actually accomplishes and what it may restrict certainly is warranted. And I don't know that there's anybody around this table that would disagree with that statement. But I think it has enough merit that it should go forward. It should get continued hearings. And I look forward to it going to resources and hearing it next.
Thank you. Any other comments? I'll remove my objection. Any other objections? Seeing none, House Bill 74 will move from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. And we are now on to House Bill 41, and we were in public testimony. Let's see. We have the list from yesterday. Okay, we'll start with Rod Arno in Mat-Su. Would you identify, Rod, you, the organization you represent as well, and go ahead with your testimony?
Yes, thank you, Chairman Seaton. My name is Rod Arno. I'm the executive director of the Alaska Outdoor Council, which has about 12,000 members statewide. And the Outdoor Council is pleased to see this debate over the Habitat Division, that our membership depends totally on the Habitat, and the Outdoor Council has been active trying to protect it since before statehood. That our concerns with the piece of legislation is that it's getting ahead of what the administration is trying to do. And hopefully that the committee members have all seen the recommendations that have come down from Palin, Governor Palin's transition teams, both DNR, which I was on, and ADF&G, regarding the Habitat Division. And the biggest concern is, of course, is protecting the habitat. HB 41 addresses the fish side, but there's a number of concerns on the game side that still need to be addressed. And I think through the process that the transition team would work through with the commissioners of each division and each department would come up with a better end plan. And if in that end plan it means moving Habitat Division or the permitting part of it back to ADF&G, then I think that would come out in that process. So the Outdoor Council, you know, would support allowing the administration and the departments to work through the different recommendations in the transition committee and not proceed with HB 41. Thank you and the rest of the committee members for your time.
Thank you, Rod, and thank you for participating on the transition teams as well. Are there any questions, Rod? Seeing none, thanks again for your testimony, Rod. Let's go to Tom Pebler in Anchorage. Tom, are you online? And if so, would you go ahead and identify yourself and who you're representing for the record?
Yes, Representative Seaton.
And Tom, before you start, we do have your written testimony. So go ahead with your oral testimony.
I was going to read my written testimony, if you'd like to sacrifice that for the sake of time.
We would appreciate that. We have a number of folks here, and like I say, we do have your written testimony, but we'd like you to summarize it, if you would. And before you start, I'd just like to recognize that we've been joined by Representative Ledoux. Go ahead.
Thank you. I believe that the Habitat Division should be returned to the Department of Fish and Game. I believe that it's important because this is how things are established as far as institutions and foundations. I spoke about the consequences of Governor Murkowski's Executive Order 107, and I believe that there would be a cumulative effect that would take place and act negatively if we didn't go ahead and do this and move it into the Department of Fish and Game. That's basically my summary. And as you said, you have my written statement, and I appreciate your attention. Thank you very much.
We do. Thank you very much, Tom. And those people that do have, I just wanted to remind everybody else that testifies, if you have written testimony that you can submit, sometimes that helps clarify, and we can read it as well and refer back to it more easily than notes or the audio. So appreciate it. Does anyone have any questions for Tom? Seeing none, thanks again for your testimony, Tom. And let's go to here in the room, Don Bremer, is it? Hope I'm pronouncing your name right. The handwriting sometimes I have a hard time making out.
It's my writing.
So if you go ahead.
I have copies for.
Oh, great. Appreciate that.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Don Bremner. I'm the Natural Resource Coordinator for the Southeast Alaska Intertribal Fish and Wildlife Commission. Our organization works mainly with subsistence and commercial fish issues here in Southeast Alaska. But a little bit of background, this knowledge that we use with our organization, it's just not our own. This is traditional knowledge that's handed down to us from our Tlingit elders and through our Tlingit culture. And we've been making a living from the ocean, land, and resources for generations, and that's not going to change. And so over periods of time, you could see where Western science has teamed up with our traditional ecological knowledge. They recognize that we're part of the life cycle there in the communities. And so we support transferring the habitat back to Fish and Game Department because they're the organization that is also part of the fish and game cycle here in Alaska. The people that had habitat with fish and game in a first place thought it was a good idea, and we agree that fish, game, and habitat are part of the same life cycle that should be managed under one roof. We don't believe that the fish and game can relinquish their rights, role, and responsibility to manage fish and game under a comprehensive plan in the state of Alaska. It's the Department of Fish and Game that recognizes the need for a comprehensive policy, plans, management, and control. And I won't go through all of the other reasons that we list here of why we feel that the Habitat Division should be managed by the Fish and Game, but they're written. We just want to say that transferring habitat back to Fish and Game is the right thing to do. And we look forward to working with an experienced, efficient agency. And at this point in time, it's just not there. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Don. And I guess one question. Have you experienced or do you feel that there is a lack of, what should I say, empathy or utilization of experiential knowledge with the Habitat Division in DNR that is different than you experienced when it was in ADF&G?
Well, if you look at the way habitat is managed, it's managed as one ecosystem. And when we have to go from one department to the next department, I think the public gets confused and either just drops out the bottom and say, well, heck with you guys. And then they don't like DEC, and they don't like EPA, and they don't like you as legislators because the system is not efficient. So having it under one roof, under one umbrella, makes it just a little more efficient, easier for the public to participate, monitor, control, manage. That's what's happening now. I mean, we're too divided. It's just too divided.
Okay. And excuse me. I just want to follow up. Are you talking about the permitting process, or are you talking about are you talking more generally about government regulation of fish and game?
That, but I didn't have a chance to testify on HB 74. That would have clarified a lot of the comments here as well. So if you look at what has to go into habitat management, even under HB 74, I have copies of the testimony that I'll leave here. We don't see a comprehensive plan where we could all work off the same page. It's just not like that. We don't see a comprehensive plan for HB 74. It has to be amended. So it's having that comprehensive plan or guide that everybody could follow. We're all following the same rules and regulations. We're not looking at Alaska waters and resources as a whole ecosystem. And that's why we support putting habitat back with fish and game.
Okay.
Just trying to get everybody under one roof, managed as one ecosystem.
Thank you. And just since you're bringing up another bill, that bill did go on to another committee, and I hope you'll submit your testimony and amendments and everything to that other committee and follow the bill along. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a little confused. You said that you'd like to have everything under one umbrella, and it seems to me that's sort of what we've done here. And yet you're testifying that we should take it apart. So can you explain how that separating the two divisions is going to make it easier when right now we sort of have it under one division? And I think if I heard your testimony correctly, that when you have to go to division after division after division, it confuses people.
Not if it's all under fish and game.
So are you suggesting that we move the other parts of DNR into fish and game?
Well, if you look at the original concept when Habitat was under the Department of Fish and Game, they were able to have a little bit more control over, like your chairman was talking about, permitting, monitoring, measuring, control of whatever development was proposed. That's the idea behind it.
Yeah, follow up, Representative Johnson.
And do you believe that under DNR that same control and oversight will not be there?
Well, I got to go back to my Yaktat experience with what we've called in Yaktat the DNR wars of trying to protect Icy Bay from runaway logging. They weren't paying attention to a lot of the in-stream and on-site land and water protections. So that's why we moved to form the Yagatag Fish and Game Management Conservation Unit, because it just wasn't working with DNR. So that's the only experience we have where we can honestly point to something where it didn't work. So with that history of DNR not enforcing and supporting habitat protection, it's a matter of trust. How could we trust them when they blatantly denied evidence on the ground of what was taking place? So the Fish and Game at that point in time was supportive of trying to protect and preserve the habitat. That's the experience we have.
Thank you. Thank you, Don. Any other questions for Don? Thank you again for your testimony. Mark? Kelke, thank you.
Good morning. I'm Mark Kelke. I'm Southeast Alaska Project Director for Trout Unlimited. Trout Unlimited is North America's largest cold water fisheries conservation group. We've got approximately 170,000 members, roughly 3,500 of which reside here in Alaska. I appreciate this opportunity to voice our support for House Bill 41. I'd first like to recognize the comments on this matter from former Fish and Game commissioners and other department employees. Trout Unlimited supports their viewpoints and experience on this issue and urge you to do the same. It's our understanding that 37 Fish and Game Habitat employees were part of the transfer of that division to DNR. These individuals brought extensive experience in fish and game habitat advocacy with them at that time. We're concerned about what will happen when these employees are replaced. Will their successors have the same knowledge, experience, and commitment to our fish and game resources as that of their predecessors? It's obviously a difficult question to answer now, but we believe passage of House Bill 41 offers the best chance for this, as it will ensure future habitat employees work for the agency specifically charged with protecting fish and game habitat. I spent 12 years in the sport fishing industry prior to my work with Trout Unlimited. Doing so gave me an opportunity to see firsthand not only the great wealth of fish and game resources we have, but also the great wealth of our fish and game, great wealth of knowledge our fish and game employees possess. Were it not for these professionals and the management systems they have undertaken, Alaska would not likely lay claim to our position as a preeminent sport fish destination, nor would we have what are generally recognized as the best managed commercial fisheries in the world. Other economically tangible matters, like the Marine Stewardship Council certification of our salmon stocks, depend on our continued ability to manage fish to the highest degree possible. We question whether that is truly being done now, given the current status of permitting authority. We believe Governor Murkowski's executive order tipped the balance of permitting power in favor of development concerns, and we see House Bill 41 as an opportunity to set things back to the way they should be. We believe it's very hard to argue with the 50-some years of successful fish and game management that took place prior to that executive order. Furthermore, as major projects like the Pebble Mine enter the permitting process, the people of Alaska should be assured ADF&G, the agency specifically charged with the maintenance of fish and game habitat, is doing exactly that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Does anyone have any questions? And do we have your written testimony?
Yes.
Okay.
Right here.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Let's go off net to Herb Simon. Herb, are you there?
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman Seatman, for the opportunity to address this committee, the Fish Committee. Can
you go ahead and say who you represent, Herb?
Well, I represent myself and our family, who's been in Alaskan since 1945, and we live in the Nalchina region, and we concur with the return of Habitat Division to Fish and Game. And we have some recent experiences with this system that took place during the Murkowski administration, and basically, to summarize it, it didn't work. For example, under the stewardship of DNR, to begin with, under multiple use management practices on land, in other words, you have no one agency can cover the whole ball of wax. Like, for example, DNR owns the land and controls the land and mining and water, et cetera, et cetera. But the DNR launched some projects up this way that they didn't even consult with Fish and Game. Now, I understand there were some Fish and Game people within DNR that were present in the Habitat Division within DNR, but why was Fish and Game, as we know it, bypassed on this? And a classic example, a little over 2 years ago, DNR came out with a program to sell off Sheep Mountain, have land disposals in Sheep Mountain. And this has been a sanctioned area since in the 40s. It's a special use area. And it's also adjacent and in some parts adjoining the Nalchina Public Use Recreational Area that came out of Juneau. It's to establish this area for the protection of primarily the Nalchina Nalchina caribou calving grounds and the associate habitat for that herd, as well as the other land mammals in the area. And this was in conjunction with the thought process at the time was concerning the Susitna Dam project and the Wantana hydroelectric project and everything. And there was, because it is a multiple use managed area, there was several changes placed and restrictions placed on the land. One was there'd be no remote parcel disposals, grazing was prohibited, and there was the magic words in there that, and of course it was open to mining leases, et cetera, et cetera. But there was a magic phrase in there that says no activity that's permitted would mitigate against the welfare of the wildlife habitat considerations. So anyway, DNR went and had this proposed land disposal that was not only in violation of the Nalchina Public Use Recreational Area, it was just basically lack of common sense, and they completely bypassed Fish and Game. Well, the public got Fish and Game involved in this thing, and of course it was killed. And then, by golly, we thought everybody understood the value, and this Sheep Mountain protected area is world class real estate. It's perfect escape mechanism. It affords two subspecies of doll sheep to intermingle, which contributes to the hybrid vigor of doll sheep. And like I say, this has been recognized since in the 40s. And so now they've come out with another proposal. You know, we're all in anticipation of this gas pipeline, And because some people along the highway in the Sheep Mountain area and in the Chickaloon area object to the gas pipeline, now the pipeline is swung back over the Sheep Mountain proper, and they've routed the proposed routing on the pipeline goes down Squaw Creek to Caribou Creek and up through Mazuma and Glass Creek over into Boulder Creek, which is, again, ideal, isolated sheep habitat. And FNAS, excuse me, the Foundation for North American Wild Sheep, has registered their complaint in this issue of the pipeline. And we haven't got any feedback yet on what's going to become of that. But when the system is under multiple land use, we have multiple agencies that have to be part of that. And it's, whether it's right or wrong, the people up in this neck of the woods figure that because it was in DNR, they had the sandbox philosophy is don't play in my sandbox. And that's why Fish and Game was completely bypassed on this.
Well,
and,
Herb, you're getting into some details here. I mean, we really appreciate that, but can you send us some written information on this? Because it's getting into enough detail that we're going to really have to look at it and timing and figure out what that all entails. So.
All right. Well, yes, sir. And the next committee that this House Bill 41 is going to go to is what, resources?
I believe it goes to resources next.
Okay. I'm kind of cramped for time, but I do have a letter from FNAS, and let me see what I can do. And Representative Seaton, do you want me to send it to your office, whatever I'm able to gather up?
Yes, if you would, that would be good, and we'll distribute it to the committee, and the committee can investigate it in a little more detail.
All right. Well, that's just a brief summary. There's a lot more, and I think that the philosophy under multiple land use, the OPR for this should be Fish and Game, because that is, I personally believe that we should never sacrifice a renewable resource position for something that is non-renewable. And
well, thanks, Herb. We appreciate it, and we do have a number of people to testify. So,
well, thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, thanks very much, Herb, and we'll look forward to that information.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to Ralph Guthrie in Sitka. Ralph, are you online or at the LIO?
Yeah, I'm right here, Chairman Seaton. I appreciate the opportunity to talk today, and I'd like to wish you all a happy Valentine's Day on top of that.
Well, thank you. And Ralph, would you go ahead and identify who you represent before you start your testimony?
I just represent myself. I guess nobody ever wanted to represent me to represent them, so, but I feel confident that what I say isn't going to be detrimental to anybody. What I'd like to say is that the move to DNR with the Habitat Division takes away the advocacy of, that would normally happen in the Department of Fish and Game. And this move created quite a lot of attrition, and people that are hired out of DNR are hired generally when they agree with what DNR is doing. So I think the lady that discussed it did a fine job of presentation, but the part that I really bothers me is that without a strong advocacy, things are going to happen down the line. As more attrition happens, it'll weaken the Habitat Division, and I'm really worried about that part. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ralph. Are there questions for Ralph? Okay, seeing none. Thanks again for your testimony, and let's go to Hal Grieger. If I'm probably butchered the name.
Close. Yes, I'm Dr. Hal Geiger. I'm here representing the Alaska chapter of the American Fisheries Society. Our organization is a professional society of over 400 scientists, fishery managers, and other research specialists in Alaska. I was president in 2005, and I was on the executive board for 3 years surrounding that. And during that time, we got a number of requests to make official comments on different development projects or other kind of projects in the state. And in the time that I was on the executive board, we turned those down because that just really wasn't what we felt was in our scope. We're a professional society, and what we're more interested is professional standards and things like that. One of the requests we got was to comment on the Chilkat jet boat permit that DNR provided and overturned some previous restrictions that ADF&G had. And like so many of the other requests we had, we turned this down because it just really wasn't in our scope. But in talking to some of our members who'd been involved in the review of this, we found that there indeed was an issue that we were very concerned about, and that was the quality of the scientific advice that went into granting this permit. You heard testimony from Ms. Howard on Monday about how her agency would make documents and other things available to people from outside her agency, and we found that to be very much the case. She spent a lot of time talking with us, was very forthcoming with documents. We took those documents, we did an extensive review, and the result was I wrote a My Turn guest editorial for the Juneau Empire that was published August 23rd of 2005, and that summarized what we found in our review. If I could just read a few things from that. The executive board of the Alaska chapter of the American Fisheries Society is very concerned about the way the Department of Natural Resources reached its recent decision to open parts of the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve to very large commercial jet boats. We reviewed the same scientific studies DNR did, and we don't see how they came to the conclusions that these commercial activities pose no risk to salmon. What we found was consistently, whenever there was any kind of doubt about whether an activity was posing risk or not, they chose to take that doubt and find that as evidence that they should not restrict the activity. In medicine, if you talk to people who in the field of medicine, they'll refer to a guiding principle they have that first do no harm. And in fisheries and renewable resource management, we have a principle called the precautionary principle that says if someone's going to propose an activity that's going to cause irreversible harm to a public resource, the responsibility to prove that there's no harm is on the people who are going to benefit from that action. That's a guiding principle, and we find that just to be part of our professional standards. We found that completely lacking in the advice that OHMP provided for this particular permit. If I could read a little bit more from our editorial, we say they glossed over way too much, misunderstood or exaggerated the optimistic side of the science, or just ignored the negative or the uncertainty. This has taken us right down the path that the people in the Pacific Northwest have already pioneered in terms of salmon. I think if you go down there, the word salmon is typically followed by the word crisis. The Columbia River was once the largest producer of salmon in the world. Now, on average, they're producing something less than 5% of what they produced before this kind of development. In the last 50 years, over $3 billion have been spent to restore salmon production in the Columbia River, and by just any measure, that's been a failure. What we have in Alaska is what was the world envy in terms of fishery management, habitat measurement, and fish and game enforcement, and we're losing all three pillars of those. When I first started studying fisheries in graduate school, salmon management in Alaska was held up as one of the several shining examples of successful fishery management in the world. That wasn't just the glib assessment of middle managers in Alaska. That was the assessment of serious academic researchers and scientists outside Alaska, even outside the United States. We're really losing that right now. On Monday, we heard some testimony that the habitat biologists at OHMP have the same qualifications that the habitat biologists had at Fish and Game. I think if you think about it, baseball teams that didn't even make the playoffs had players with the same qualifications as the players who won the World Series. There's far more to it than just studying the basic qualifications. I think if we're interested in an organization that's truly effective, you have to look at the culture. And our organization's very concerned about the culture and the lack of professional standards, as we see it, that are going into the decisions and the advice coming out of DNR. So in summary, thanks for the opportunity to comment, and we very strongly recommend that the habitat permitting go back to Fish and Game.
Okay, thank you. And can you provide us the copy of your editorial and your analysis?
Yes, and I guess if I could, I should have mentioned before, our current executive committee prepared a letter. This letter was also approved by our Environmental Concerns Committee and our executive committee, and they sent that letter to Governor Palin. I have a copy of that letter signed by our current president, Dr. Jamal Moss.
We'd appreciate getting that information into our record as well.
Okay.
Thanks. Are there questions for Dr. Geiger?
Geiger.
Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's go to, let's see, those are questions. Matthew LaCroix?
It's LaCroix.
LaCroix. Would you identify yourself and who you're representing for the record, and go ahead with your testimony?
Yes, certainly, Chairman Seaton and members of the committee. My name is Matthew LaCroix. I'm representing myself. For the past 5 years, I've worked as a permitter and project reviewer for both the Departments of Fish and Game and Department of Natural Resources. As I said, I'm here on my own time providing this testimony as a private citizen. It's based on my personal experiences and opinions, and in no way reflects any official position of either Department of Fish and Game or Natural Resources. I strongly support returning fish habitat permitting authority to the Department of Fish and Game. I was working for Fish and Game within the former Habitat and Restoration Division as a permitter when Governor Murkowski issued Executive Order 107. I was one of those that received a layoff notice. But I was not laid off. Instead, I was offered a position within the new Office of Habitat Management and Permitting within DNR and the area office in Palmer. I accepted the position and began work to open the new office. I was the only biologist in the office for the first several months and received a director's commendation from Kerry Howard for the work that I did during that time. In total, I spent 2.5 years with OHUMP. I've been back with Fish and Game as a permitter in the Sport Fish Division for the past 18 months. I've been issuing permits and coordinating per the Fish and Game DNR Memorandum of Understanding ever since it was originally written. This has been almost 4 years, and I can say that the arguments put forward by those who support keeping fish habitat permitting within DNR are disingenuous to the extreme. The mantra from these supporters seems to be that it's the same statutes, it's the same biologists, it's the same protections. But this is far from the truth. If there truly is no difference in protection, why did our former governor feel so strongly that creating OHUMP was necessary? Governor Murkowski publicly stated time and again that he was moving permitting to DNR because Fish and Game had stalled or blocked development projects. The governor's sole purpose for creating OHUMP was to grease the skids for development. I saw firsthand the differences in perspective between Fish and Game and DNR. Examples of some of these differences are in my complete written testimony. Kerry Howard testified on Monday about the close working relationship that exists between OHUMP and Fish and Game, about how OHUMP routinely consults with Fish and Game biologists on every project bigger than a bread box, and how 79% of OHUMP biologists once worked for Fish and Game. If this is the case, then why not send the OHUMP biologists back to Fish and Game where they came from? If so many of the OHUMP staff really are co-located with Fish and Game, why would it be so disruptive to return permitting to Fish and Game? If Fish and Game really has the expertise that OHUMP personnel need to do their jobs, and if OHUMP permitters really do rely on and incorporate the input they receive from Fish and Game staff, how does it possibly make sense for DNR to have the permitting authority instead of Fish and Game? It makes sense if you want DNR to have editing and veto power over Fish and Game's comments and concerns, and that is how things are now. Fish and Game provides input that can be disregarded by DNR. If DNR does not agree with Fish and Game's comments, those comments simply do not get passed on to the coastal program or to project proponents and do not become part of the public record. In her testimony, Ms. Howard pointed out that Fish and Game was granted a full full seat at the table regarding review of the prospective pebble mine. This seat at the table was only granted after Fish and Game protested that OHMP was editing its comments to the large mine team. In fact, OHMP refused to pass on a memorandum regarding wildlife baseline study needs. Although Executive Director Howard pointed out the common responsibilities of all state agencies under our Constitution, the departments of Fish and Game and Natural Resources are not interchangeable, and neither are their respective biologists. If there were, there would be no need for an MOU between the departments. There would be no need for OHMP to consult with Fish and Game or for Fish and Game to review projects at all. About the MOU, if there is such a close relationship between the two departments, why is this MOU 11 pages long, and why has it been amended four times in less than 4 years? If the MOU is key to coordination between the two departments, why should we expect that a new and improved version would be any more effective than the previous five versions? If the MOU is about coordination, and if OHMP really does contact Fish and Game on all projects bigger than a breadbox, why didn't they contact Fish and Game about the Rock Creek Mine or about coal exploration activities within the Matanuska Valley Moose Range? The MOU identifies Fish and Game as the lead for review of activities within the Moose Range. Perhaps these projects are smaller than a breadbox. In conclusion, I need to say that I have nothing against OHMP biologists. They did not create this situation and, for the most part, are conscientiously doing the best they can under difficult circumstances. These are good biologists who do good work, but the reality is that neither department currently has the necessary staff to adequately protect the state's valuable fish and wildlife resources. I object to the message that is being given to this committee, to the legislature as a whole, to the governor, and to the public, the message that there are no issues here, that the protection provided to our resources is the same as it was prior to EO 107. It is not. The state lost many of its most experienced permitters and project reviewers as a result of that order. Review responsibilities are now fragmented and uncoordinated. There is more duplication, not less, and the work is being done by fewer, less experienced biologists. It will take years for either Fish and Game or DNR to rebuild the capacity lost as a result of EO 107. The big losers here are the resources, and of course the public that utilizes and depends on them. If we truly focused on protecting and maintaining the resources for the public in accordance with the Constitution, it wouldn't matter who issued the permits. Unfortunately, however, we are not there yet, and so it does matter. OHMP has demonstrated a willingness to defend developers and industry, but have they shown that they are willing to defend our fish and wildlife? If Executive Director Kerry Howard had given one example of when OHMP had stood up in opposition to a position taken by DNR, we could perhaps give them the benefit of some doubt that they were first and foremost looking out for the resource. But she did not. OHMP is 37 people in a very large and powerful department, and frankly, I don't think they're willing to fight their own commissioner. Fish and Game, on the other hand, has a proven track record of being willing to fight to protect the state's fish and wildlife resources. If the legislature recognizes the true value of these resources, it will realize that they are worth fighting for, and it will give the ability to do so back to Fish and Game. I urge you to return fish habitat permitting to Fish and Game. Thank you for providing the opportunity to comment.
Thank you, Matthew. And I don't believe that we've received your written testimony yet. So if you wouldn't mind, we would like to get that for our investigations.
It's being sent down.
Okay, thank you. And Representative Johnson has a question for you.
Matthew, thank you, Mr. Chair. Matthew, thank you for your testimony. We listened, I think, Monday of this week about, you know, some corporate culture. And since you've worked in that department, did you ever feel pressured or felt like if anything you brought forward would have jeopardized your position or your standing? Did you feel threatened in any way when you were at OHMP?
Well, in response to that, I could point out, if I had a little more time, some of the differences in perspective between Fish and Game and DNR. But the short answer was that I never felt threatened, no. Did I feel pressure to change my analysis of projects? Yes. Was analysis that I conducted changed? Yes. Everything goes up through a review process that's typical in all agencies. It's you know, occurs in Fish and Game as well. But there is a definite difference in corporate perspective, corporate culture within Fish and Game and DNR. Some other commenters have pointed that out. The benefit of the doubt is given to project proponents and developers as opposed to the resource in the case of OHA. And so it's typical for results of analysis to be modified, changed, or for projects to be taken away from review biologists if certain individuals don't agree with the conclusions that are reached and given to another biologist to finish the review who's less likely to rock the boat.
Thank you, Matthew. I appreciate it.
And Matthew, if you wouldn't mind, if you have some of those examples where you could give us, then that would be helpful to us as well. Representative Ledoux.
Yes, Matthew. I understand right now you are at Fish and Game.
That's correct, yes.
Would you feel as comfortable or less comfortable giving this testimony if you were still over at DNR?
I would have to say that I'm really not all that comfortable providing testimony working at Fish and Game. but more comfortable, yes.
Well, we can appreciate that, but we sure do appreciate your testimony and your insight. You know, it's one of the hard difficulties sitting here around this table to be talking in generalities instead of specifics and not having any specifics. So,
Chairman,
it's going to be helpful. Representative Edgman.
One last comment. I want to thank the testifier for his commentary. I thought it was very insightful. He did cite examples. I thought what he provided to us was quite compelling. And you know, I support moving the Habitat Division back to the Department of Fish and Game. I come from a district that's deeply rooted in the commercial fishing industry, where habitat protection is very critical. It's not just important. It's the future of our existence out there. And I have here in front of me a document that relates to the Alaska Constitution. It's called a Citizen's Guide, where it describes how our Constitution, speaking of deeply rooted, is deeply rooted in the principles of conservation, of important principles like sustained yield and multiple use, and doctrines that have guided not only our resource management policies over the many years that we've been a state, but also have guided the Department of Fish and Game and the Division of Habitat up until 2003. So we've got many years where we can point to, and I haven't heard anybody tell me that the Habitat Division was broken before it was moved over to DNR, that we've got many years on the record that show that the Division of Habitat was doing its job effectively. And we've heard from some very esteemed individuals with many years of experience in the department, Dr. Hal Geiger, Lance Trasky, George Matz, the individual on the off-net line. So to me, I think, and I respect the governor's decision to take her time to study this issue further. Her perspective is different than mine, given that she represents the entire state. But I would really urge her, as well as I would urge my colleagues around the Fisheries Committee table here, to take a further look in this issue. And I hope that we can come back and revisit this issue at some point and look at them moving the division back to Fish and Game.
And thank you, and thanks, the committee. And we'll get into more, you know, where we're coming from when we go out of public testimony into committee discussion. So at this point in time, I'd like to direct the committee back to, are there any further questions of the witness that we have? Okay, seeing none, thank you again, Matthew. Let's go to Mike Milligan in Kodiak. Mr. Milligan, are you online at Kodiak?
Yes, can you hear me, Mr. Chair?
We can now. Would you go ahead and identify yourself and who you're representing for the record and proceed with your testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mike Milligan. I live in Kodiak, and I'm representing myself. I just heard about this meeting yesterday, so I don't really have any prepared comments, but I want to share with you, Mr. Chairman, what I think is probably the single most important issue on this transfer when it occurred before and as it goes back. There is an act called the Dingell-Johnson Act that funds habitat divisions across the U.S. And before I start, I wanted to preface that I support the transfer back to Fish and Game. Mr. Chairman, there is an institution that really built the fish and game herds back in the United States, and that institution is a Robertson-Pittman Act, which occurred in the 1930s. which has a special federal tax on all ammunition sold in the U.S. That money was available at the federal level to state agencies to help build up the fish and game herds, which were depleted at the time. This act was such a success that they tried a similar act. John Dingell's current representative, powerful representative from Michigan, his father wrote a similar act for fishing lures in the 1950s, and this act has been in effect since the 1950s. One of the issues that occurred with the debate of EO 107 a couple years ago was that the state may in fact lose the Dingell-Johnson funding mechanism to fund the Habitat Division. I don't know the answer to that question. When I posed that question in public to the Murkowski administration, they could not answer it. And I think that is a critical question that this committee and the Resources Committee needs to answer before this bill is moved on to finance. Specifically, has the state lost its access to the Dingell-Johnson monies for the funding of the Habitat Division? If it did lose those monies, has it been able to access those monies for other purposes? And finally, will the state be able to get those monies back if this House Bill 41 passes? There is more information than you could probably digest on the internet if you do a title search of Dingell-Johnson. You could do it on the federal website, and you can get the long history and the many successes that this bill has had. But, Mr. Chairman, I think that before this discussion goes any further in this committee, that very important question needs to be answered. And I want to note that I don't see any federal mention on the fiscal note. When you look at the fiscal note, you see those fund sources, 102 federal receipts. You'll see goose eggs all the way across. So I think that is a critical question. I think it's the pivotal question on this bill, and I hope that this committee, with your leadership, Mr. Chairman, will ask what has happened to those Dingell-Johnson monies and what will happen in regards to this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mike. And we do have DNR online, and they'll, I'm sure, be prepared to answer that when we go into committee discussion. Representative Ledoux.
I was just going to ask Mike whether or not we had received Dingell-Johnson funds prior to the transfer, whether he knew.
That's correct, Representative Ledoux. We did, and the Habitat Division, before EO 107, my understanding is that it was entirely funded with Dingell-Johnson money.
Thank you, Mike.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Milligan there in Kodiak? Okay, seeing none, Kristen Smith.
Are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Would you go ahead and identify yourself and who you represent for the record and proceed with your testimony for us?
Sure. Thank you very much. My name is Kristen Smith. I'm representing the Copper River Watershed Project, and our geographic focus is the whole Copper River region, so from the headwaters area up by Mentasta Village, down the river basin all the way down to the Copper River Delta. That's the area that we cover. We're a membership-driven organization, and we strongly support moving the permitting authority back to the Department of Fish and Game. I think this issue really speaks to the heart of our mission as an organization that emphasizes integrating the effects of all types, integrating the effects of development and considering those effects on all types of capital. And we look at social and cultural capital, economic capital, and natural resource capital. And our working definition of sustainable economic development is a project or an effort that can enhance at least one of those types of capital without detracting from the others. I think that salmon are a public resource for everyone in our communities, everyone in the state of Alaska, really. And they're a renewable resource that should be managed specifically for that annual productivity. We hear miners and land developers and loggers complain about the expense of erosion control and stream protection. But if you look at the expense that Oregon and Washington are facing of trying to sustain hatcheries and maintain fish ladders around dams and restoring salmons in their streams, the expense that they're incurring is outrageous, and it's just too great an expense for us to lose the resources we have and then try to restore them later. So I think this function of the Department of Fish and Game is critical. And for these reasons, we believe strongly that salmon need an independent voice to ensure that balance in decision-making. And I support the testimony that Matt LaCroix offered earlier. He's a fisheries biologist that we've worked with for permitting some of our projects here. And I found him to be really good to work with. And obviously his testimony, I strongly supported it. And so for these reasons, we want to urge you to return the habitat permitting function to the Department of Fish and Game. And thank you very much for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you, Kristen. Appreciate that. And if you have written testimony, will you send it in as well?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Kristen Smith from Cordova? Seeing none, thank you again for your testimony. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to testify on House Bill 41? Would you come forward and identify yourself? We don't have you on the list. Maybe it was from the other day.
I was number one on the Monday morning.
We don't have the Monday morning list. We're on today's list. So sorry that you're at the end of the list.
Sorry about that, Mr. Chairman. That's all right.
If there's anyone else that signed up on Monday and anticipated us to have that Monday list, would you please go ahead and sign up on your name outside so I can read it, and I don't know everybody's name, so appreciate your indulgence there, and would you go ahead and identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony?
That's fine, Mr. Chairman, and it's been most enjoyable listening to some of the testimony here this morning. It's I think we're finally getting to this particular issue, and I think it's probably one of the really important issues that this session of the legislature or the governor, whoever's going to be the champion here on this, needs to be dealt with, and dealt with fairly in the interest of the resource and the resource agencies. But anyway, good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Carl Rozier, and I'm here testifying in support of the concepts of House Bill 41 as a concerned Alaskan. I applaud Representative Gara's efforts to introduce a bill that will keep this issue before the public, something that was not done when the original decision was being made in the hallowed halls of this particular building by Governor Murkowski. I began my fisheries work in Alaska in 1955. I went to work for ADF&G Commercial Fisheries Division in 1959. And held positions at ADF&G of increasing responsibility as an area management biologist, region supervisor, division director, and deputy commissioner. I left state employment in 1980 to take over as chief of fisheries development with the National Marine Fisheries Service. In this position, I am proud to have been of help in the Americanization of our exclusive economic zone. I capped my fisheries career in the state by serving Governor Hickel as Commissioner of ADF&G from 1990 to 1995. First, I'd like to say that I fully support and agree with the testimony presented on Monday by Mr. Lance Trasky. Lance worked for me. He was a great professional that did excellent work up there in that South Central area where we know about the expanding population of people and the development activities that were there or have been there for the last 20 years. Needless to say, I'm extremely proud of the job the professionals of ADF&G have done in protecting and extending the fish, wildlife, and aquatic plant resources of our state. ADF&G has 50 years of history of fisheries management and habitat protection that is the model and envy of every state fortunate enough to have anadromous fish populations. Alaska's success has come about as a result of a strong fisheries management program and habitat protection for long-term sustainability and abundance. California, Oregon, Washington, and it's come on up the coast now to the southern half of British Columbia. They've all seen their salmon stocks decline precipitously due largely to damage by other extractive industries such as irrigation, electric generation, logging, mining, urban pollution, and in some cases overfishing. The costs of rebuilding, if possible, will be in the hundreds of millions of dollars, not to mention the costs associated with ever-increasing federal involvement as the list of endangered species continues to grow. With the transfer of the habitat function to DNR, Alaska has now placed our resources on the same slippery slope that has caused the declines in the majority of coastal areas supporting anadromous stocks. We all know that the resource extractive industries are the future of Alaska, but we have to be smart stewards in terms of protecting the renewable versus non-renewable resources. Yes, there have been some problems between industry and the habitat staff, but the transfer of the Division of Habitat to DNR did nothing to resolve anything except exacerbate the controversy. The logging leadership, as well as some segments of the mining interests, were the political friends of Murkowski that forced the transfer and have placed the fisheries resources in a dangerous, compromised position. These resources are renewable. They support the economy of many Alaska communities. Salmon values alone are between $500 million and $800 million annually. This is a resource that deserves to be represented at the cabinet level under an agency charged with their welfare. That was exactly what our early legislators decided, and that decision, in my view, is as good today as it was when Title 16 was promulgated in the late 50s. I'm pleased that Governor Palin has elected to take a second look at this issue. She has not been hesitant to reverse bad decisions by the Murkowski administration, and I believe that upon close scrutiny, the governor will see through the political nonsense espoused by the previous administration and the greed of the industries that have been willing to compromise a great resource so important to so many Alaskans. Control of the habitat by a deputy commissioner under a commissioner charged with management of land resources simply makes no sense. And that's exactly the situation that you have today. In conclusion, the memorandum of understanding may sound good. However, they will only work if the signature parties are somewhat equal in authorities. DNR currently holds all of the political aces in this regard. And with all due respect to the current commissioner of DNR, who has inherited this mess, the interagency agreement will not stand the test of time, in my view. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you for your testimony, Carl. Is there any questions for Carl? Rozier? Yes, Representative Edgman.
Through the chair, thank you, Mr. Rozier, for coming forward. With your many years in the department, including Department of Fish and Game, including several years as commissioner, in your estimation, in terms of our constitution and the principles of conservation and sustained yield and multiple uses, what agency is best served to protect our natural resources?
There's no question in my mind that in the case of fish and wildlife resources, ADF&G is the agency. And there was certainly controversy here in terms of, or disagreements in terms of who should do this. But when you look at the basis for the decision, I mean, it was personal attacks in many cases, and Lance Trasky was one of those. It was personal attacks by political types from the industry leadership on this, and they'd been after doing this thing for at least 3 years. They made a run on it when I was commissioner. We beat the industry back at that time, largely the logging industry. And so it's one of those things that the politics changed for a moment in time, and the Murkowski administration moved into that, and in the hopes that they could grease the skids for development that had been ongoing. We've got a lot of mines in Alaska. We've still got somewhat of a logging industry, not the way it was, but the logging industry refused to change in terms of their products and so forth, and they were outpaced by foreign activities producing the same products that we were at a cheaper price. So it was not the agencies that put the logging business out of business in southeastern Alaska or in any other part of the state. There were other factors that affected them much more, but the scapegoat that they liked to use was always the agencies and the regulations on their industry. So, thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? Carl, I'd just like to say that, you know, one of the things is that hopefully that's what part of our function and what we're doing here is gaining some of that clarity that the governor is going to need to look at to make decisions as well. And so we'll be looking at it as an independent body, but hopefully they are gaining that information from us as well. So thank you for your testimony. We have
for your efforts.
Another person online, that's Dr. Vi Gerald. Are you online there, Vi? And would you go ahead and identify yourself and who you represent? And go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Paul. And greetings to all of you. Thank you. My name is Dr. Vi Gerald. I'm representing myself. Probably a lot of other people, but really myself. I respectfully ask that you vote yes and pass HB 41 by Representative Guerra and Representative Crawford to transfer Habitat Area Division from DNR back to Fish and Game. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vi. Appreciate your testimony. Does anyone have any questions? Seeing none, thanks again. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to testify on House Bill 41? Do we have anyone else online to testify? Seeing none, I'll close public testimony. And we have this open for committee discussion. For one's information, we have some additional testimony that's come in, should be on your desk, one which is from Mr. Bruce Baker in Auk Bay, who has been employed with Fish and Game. And we also have from the Carlson family, and there was, see, there's a couple other. I just want to get them, make sure they're in the record. Doug Hill. And we have Stephen Toffin. Make sure I go. And then one other is Jeff Parker. So those are the other email comments and testimony that has come in. Representative Johnson, did you have a question or discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually have a lot of questions, and that's why I was wondering about closing public testimony. Is it your intention to move this, or are we going to continue to hear some more? Because I have some real questions about the corporate culture issues, and I understand that we have a commissioner that we will affirm, I hope, and Resources Committee I will very specifically ask him these questions. But I'm wondering if we need to deal into a little bit about that more, because I don't think we want to breed that type of situation in state government, and if we have it, we need to address it. It might play very well into what we're trying to do here. I was just wondering what the intentions and et cetera were, because I have some more questions about this.
Right, and thank you, Representative Johnson. Yeah, my intention is to get answers to some of the questions. We have testimony that's coming in. We are not planning on moving this bill today. But we will be looking at it, asking some of the questions. And we do have online, and I intend to ask them to comment, Kerry Howard from the Habitat Division is there, as well as Tom Brookover with Fish and Game. So we have folks that can give us some of the answers, hopefully, to those questions. Are there other comments before we go forward with those questions to those folks? Some of them they may want to do in writing because they may be extensive, but there were a few of them that they may have answers to, such as the Dingell Johnson federal funding money. So if nobody has any pressing discussion right now. Kerry, are you online? Kerry Howard?
Yes, I am, Chair Seaton.
Thank you. Could you address that question that was brought up? I think you probably heard it all. You don't need me to restate it, do you? About the Dingell Johnson federal funding. Are we receiving it? Is it being used for another purpose now? And if we're not receiving it, if the transfer was made, could we get it back?
Yes, Chair Seaton, I did hear the question. I'll have a few thoughts, but I'm going to have to defer to my colleague at Fish and Game. 4 years ago, when we were looking at moving the division to DNR, we were advised that Dingell Johnson monies could not be used by an agency other than Fish and Game. So although those funds were used to support the former Habitat office, we could not move those funds to DNR to support our work over here. My understanding is that Fish and Game retains those funds, and it may actually be using them to fund the other Habitat office at Fish and Game. But if Tom Brookover is on the line, he perhaps can speak to that more directly since the funds are at Fish and Game.
Well, Kerry, before you go on, I know this isn't a finance committee, but so the source of your funding for the Habitat Division in DNR, is that all GF then?
Chair Seaton, no. And again, if you refer back to the notebook that I gave all the committee members, there's both a pie chart and a spread. 71% of our monies are general fund, 18% are interagency receipts, 6% are statutorily designated program receipts, and then we have 5% of CIP funds, which are really pass-through funds that we use to support USGS stream gauging work.
Okay.
But we have no federal funds, that's correct.
Okay, and so for the committee's information, that's under the tab labeled budget in there, the pie chart. Are there any, Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thank you. How much money are we talking? I mean, we've been talking about funds and no one's really put a number on it. Are we talking millions of dollars or thousands of dollars, or what exactly are we talking about with this Dingell Johnson money?
Was that Representative Johnson?
That was Representative Johnson.
Yes, thank you.
Representative Johnson, through the chair, again, that question really needs to be directed to Fish and Game because they are the agency that receives those funds.
And, Kerry, just for clarification, the general funds of 71%, that's $3,122,000. Is that the way we should read that, the dollar amount?
Correct.
Okay. And let's see, did anybody else have any other question on this subject for Kerry? If not, let's go to the same subject to Tom Brookover. Are you online?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I am.
I think you've been hearing the dialogue here on Dingell Johnson money. Could you give us the analysis of what that is and whether we are losing any federal funding to support Habitat, or is that all being used within other divisions of Fish and Game, the maximum amount that we could receive from the federal government?
Mr. Chair, I think I can help answer that. I'm not fully aware of how much DJ money was used by the former Habitat Division. I do know that there was some DJ money used by the Habitat Division to conduct at least two projects, but I don't know the amount, and I don't know if it's higher than what we have currently available and used today. In our FY08 request, there are five projects outlined for a total of about $485,000. And all that money goes to our research program here within Region 5 for things like administering the fish distribution database and conducting anadromous stream surveys.
Tom, can you find that information out for us and get back to us as to whether previously we had more Dingell Johnson money and that we are, whether we are or whether we are not receiving that because of this move to DNR?
Mr. Chair, yes, I will do that.
Thank you, Tom. Other questions? I think that, you know, one of the chief questions that we have, and I think hopefully when we receive the written testimony and we follow up on some of that, seems to be the question of the difference in culture between and what your primary objective is within the department. And I think we've heard that from the scientific community that the science is, I mean, I don't mean it's cherry-picked, I don't mean it's slanted, I mean you look at it in a different way in the two different departments. And I think that we'll want to get some more examples of that. I would also like to have Kerry Howard send us some information on the, I don't mean allegation like it's a criminal charge, but the idea that Habitat Division biologists apparently put forward memos or analysis and that analysis doesn't go forward to the project or is somehow changed with, you know, and this relates back to the culture. Do you have a, is there a culture that then selects some of that information to go forward? And I don't even mean whether that's necessarily consciously, and I'm not making any allegations or charges here. What we heard in public testimony was that there was information that didn't go forward, and I am not a, I've never been in the administration. I don't know how those departments exactly work when they're doing their permitting, whether that is all publicly accumulated information, those memos and that analysis all goes forward, or whether that sifting normally goes forward. And what we're trying to do is figure out if there is the kind of change that has been purported in testimony to us. So, Kerry, there is nothing that I'm saying awkwardly here, but there's nothing that I'm making any claim against the organization, DNR, or anything else. We're just trying to find out how that's structured. So I hope you'll make sure that you don't take this as a negative comment on, we're just trying to figure out how it works. And I know that these kind of comments can be misinterpreted, and I don't want them to be misinterpreted as if I'm making an allegation against the department. Representative Ledoux.
You know, I'm concerned about this corporate culture discussion or argument also. I can't see, though, and I hope somebody can give me some suggestions as to how we as a committee can ever really determine that. Because if you were actually going to try to figure this out really, you'd want to be talking to all of the people who are working in OHUMP now or who have left OHUMP, but I think particularly the folks who are there now who were at one point Fish and Game employees and now are DNR employees, and you'd want to be able to talk to them off the record without them having to identify themselves. And I mean, that's more something that a prosecutor or an investigative reporter does as opposed to a committee. So if somebody can give me any ideas as to how we might get to the bottom of this, if there is a bottom to be gotten to, I'd really appreciate that.
And Representative Ledoux, I guess I'd just like to say that, you know, the Palin administration has indicated to us that they are researching and looking at the you know, whether that move should take place in the future. Hopefully the questions that we are arriving at here that we are probably, like you say, are not going to be able to be to get the answers will give rise to the questions for them to ask, because that's within the administration, that kind of investigation, that kind of discussion can take place, whereas we're not using subpoena power in the Special Committee on Fisheries to bring people forward. And I totally agree with you that it's a very difficult difficult proposition to wrestle with, and hopefully that we will have discussions for it. Representative Guerra, would you like to come forward and join us at the table? We're in committee discussion, but we open that for any legislator that wants to. We have Representative Holmes and then Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I do think I do want to follow up on the comments that you were making earlier. I think it's very important that we clarify that we are not in this inquiry trying to accuse anybody at the former or current Habitat Division of not doing their job. That's not the intent of this. The intent is not to say the people, just because they're in DNR, are not doing their job to the best of their ability. We're not trying to demonize anybody here. I think the point of this exercise is to figure out what is the most natural fit to help them do their job in the best way possible. So I really do hope that as we go forward, it's very clear to all that we are not in any way, shape, or form trying to accuse the employees of OHMP of not doing their job to the best of their ability. We're trying to help them do their job. So
I appreciate that, and hopefully nobody. Trying to clarify my line of questioning as much as I could, and I hope people aren't taking it the wrong way, because if they take it that I am accusing anybody of not fulfilling a duty, that is not the line of questioning that I'm taking. Representative Johnson, and then Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I want to go back to a little bit about what you said about the culture of the organizations. I don't know that we can actually get to the bottom of it, quite honestly. I mean, I just don't think we have at this body. But I do think it's important that the divisions and the people out there know we're watching and know that we do care and know that it's going to be very hard for us to stomach treating someone badly because they're doing what they think is right. And I think if that message, if we don't find out anything, but if we can send that message to the departments that we do care about getting good information, that we do care about the people that are providing it, and we want good information that's unbiased, without tainted from up or below, then I think that's a good message to send, and I'd encourage us to kind of maybe go down that road as far as we're comfortable with, at least, just to let people know that the information we get on this committee, at least, we need to be reasonably confident that it's accurate, delivered in the way that we can make decisions, because that is our job. And that's where we need to be.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. And that's you know, we're going to be looking at this written testimony that's coming in. We'll be asking questions. We'll be sending interrogatives to Kerry Howard in the department, as well as probably to some in Fish and Game to get some of that information. That information will all be public and will be brought forward at a future time. So there's nothing that we're going to be doing that is off the record, you know, in this committee. So everything will be brought back forward. Representative Guerra, would you like to comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The corporate culture issue is very interesting, and the hard way to figure it out is to go and interview everybody and look at them in the eye and say, how did you feel now, and how is that different than before? I don't think you have to do that. And I've thought a lot about how this sort of almost amorphous issue of moving a division from one agency to the other can possibly have such a big impact on our fisheries. And I guess I would just direct your attention to a couple of things that you can look at that will help you make your decision. First, the people who know more than we do believe that there's a difference in corporate culture. So if you ask Commissioner Rozier, Commissioner Rue, Commissioner Collinsworth, Commissioner Scoop, Commissioner Brooks, that's every single Fish and Game Commissioner from prior to the Murkowski administration. They say there's a difference. They say fisheries can be protected better with a Habitat Division and the Department of Fish and Game than the Department of Natural Resources. And then so you have to ask yourself why. And you heard from Commissioner Rozier. You've seen the written testimony from Commissioner Rue and the letter that the five commissioners wrote to us. But the answer why, and I've been listening because I've still been trying to get my arms around it too, the answer why is that when Habitat was in the Department of Fish and Game, if there was a difference in opinion between the Department of Fish and Game because they wanted to protect fisheries to a greater degree and the Department of Natural Resources because they wanted to go ahead with a particular development project, what happened was the two commissioners with equal power then brought their dispute to the governor. No commissioner had decision-making authority over the other one at that point. In those rare circumstances, they couldn't come to a meeting of the minds. The governor made the decision, and that's what should happen. The governor makes the policy decision. Today, the Division of Habitat is within the Department of Natural Resources. If the biologists at the Division of Habitat decide that we need to protect a fishing stream, and the commissioner were to say, no, we don't have to do what you're recommending, the decision is made automatically by the Commissioner of Natural Resources. The dispute is not brought up to the governor. So today you have a veto power circumstance at the Department of Natural Resources. Before, you had two co-equal agencies on these issues. And then you have to ask yourself, well, why would those two agencies look at these issues differently? And they almost have to. They almost wouldn't be doing their jobs if they didn't look at them differently. The Department of Natural Resources has a duty to develop and conserve our resources for the maximum benefit of the state. That is a broad area of discretion. You could have one commissioner who is more on the side of conservation. You could have one who is less interested in fisheries conservation and more interested in development. And that commissioner has that power to decide one or the other. The Commissioner of Fish and Game doesn't really have that discretion. The Commissioner of Fish and Game's job is to have knowledge of the requirements for protection, management, conservation, and restoration of the fish and game resources of the state. And the functions of the commissioner are to manage, protect, maintain, improve, and extend the fish and game and aquatic plant resources of the state in the interest of the economy and general well-being of the state. It's to promote our fisheries and our wildlife and natural resources in a way that benefits the economy. That's different than promoting the economy over those resources. They just have two different mandates. It may sound subtle, but that's why there are two different departments. And so I don't think you have to go look at the employees and ask them why the corporate culture is different. It is different. It's been different, and maybe it's in part for historical reasons, for the historical reasons that Commissioner Rozier talked about. But I don't think you have to avoid making the decision because we can't get a handle of why it's different as a matter of culture. The commissioners say it's different, and it's probably because of the way the statutory mandate has been interpreted within those departments. I do want to defend Ms. Howard. I think Carrie Howard has done a good job, both when she was at Habitat in the Department of Fish and Game, and now when she's the Department of Natural Resources. She's doing a job. She's doing it as well as she can, and I think the biologists there are doing the job as well as they can. And before, when people were talking about the threats of retaliation, it's really an interesting thing in state government. I'm positive that Ms. Howard never threatened anybody. I know Ms. Howard, and she wouldn't. But what happens with state employees all across the board is state employees tend not to feel comfortable showing up and providing testimony that contradicts the testimony of their superiors, right? We see it everywhere. And I think that's the sort of fear that people have when they testify, not that somebody has said you'll be fired. And many of these people probably have supervisors who would encourage them to do it, but there's still a culture in state government that I find frustrating sometimes where people who know things feel like they can't say something because they worry that it's going to undermine a policy of a higher up. And that's indirect, and that's not the result of threats, and certainly not from Ms. Howard. But it is a feeling that you know, you heard it today, you know that some people feel, and you can understand it.
Thank you. It is time for our meeting to end. Is there anybody else that has any further Representative Edgman?
I also want to support Representative Johnson's earlier comment about maybe, you know, getting a broader view on this whole thing, because in fairness, somebody has to support this, and obviously we've heard from the Outdoor Council, we've heard from the Mining Association. Did we hear from the Mining? Maybe that was on a different bill. But anyway, it would be good to get the other perspective, because there has to be support for keeping a DNR, and obviously, you know, logic for doing so. So it would be interesting to get that as well.
And if there are you know, other segments of industries or anything else that wants to come back up, I can reopen public testimony. So if you, anyone's office is talking with folks that think that we should get that information on the record for the entire committee, let me know and we will do that as we consider the bill further. And with that, we will be adjourned. It's 10:02.